Acts 16 and verse number 12. Here is the Apostle Paul now in Macedonia, in the vicinity of Philippi. They've crossed over from Asia Minor into Europe. And we have spent a little bit of time recently talking about how Satan certainly is strategic in his desire to destroy the gospel. And he is strategic. He has all his forces organized. And he is strategic in his opposition to the gospel. On the other hand, we ought to be strategic as well as we give out the gospel and as we serve the Lord. And many times we are the opposite of that. Many times we just kind of play a hit and miss approach to the work of the Lord. And many times we have a hit and miss approach to our prayer life. And many times we even have a hit and miss approach as to doing the work of the Lord. Here in Acts chapter 16, we have some interesting truths here about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In verse 12, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." All right, well, first of all, we already noticed that he goes to Philippi, a chief city of that part of Macedonia. Obviously, there was many minor cities, many places of insignificance that he could have gone to, but he went to the chief city, an important place of that part of Macedonia, a place of possible widespread future influence. And that city could be the headquarters of that influence. And then it says, "On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." And of course, when Paul went to a city, one of the first things he did was he found Jewish people. He found many cases that talks about how he went to minister to devout people. Whether they were the Gentile proselytes to Judaism, they were Gentiles who had forsaken idolatry and were monotheists. Many times he would go to the synagogue where people believed the Bible and the people knew the doctrines of the Scripture. And there would be two kinds of people there. Certainly there would be, if there were born again Jews in that town, they would be going to a synagogue, and they would readily receive the message of Jesus Christ. If there were Jews who believed the Bible and were open to the things of God, would easily come and be saved. And if there were Gentiles in that city that had rejected idolatry, they would also, if they hadn't become Jews, they would be sitting at the back of the synagogue, and they would be there as inquirers, inquiring into the truth of the Word of God and into the things of the Scripture. And so we find, but in a city where there was not a synagogue, there, in this case in Philippi, there's not a synagogue because there were not enough Jewish families there. He went to a place where those who were would be considered worshiping the God of heaven, monotheists, were praying. And so that's where he went. He went to the river, the Bible says, to a place where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And so he was strategic where he went with the gospel. Now, as you think in the New Testament, you think of the great church at Ephesus. And when you think of of the great church at Ephesus. You think of those so-called disciples of John. I don't believe they were saved, but they were disciples of John in name only. But yet they were fervent people, fervent for the Word of God and fervent for truth. And wow, what a foundation of a church when you had all those disciples of John getting converted and becoming the foundation of that truth, those men. What a significant truth it is. You know, there was, we see, obviously, in the sovereignty of God that there was, God had some strategy. The Apostle Paul had some strategy. And we find in Philippi, very interesting, we have three different people who get, the scripture mentions, get saved. We have a wealthy woman who had a big house, who had a lot of money, who obviously knew other women who were in that idolatrous age, were monotheists, and prayed to God. You know, it said that they prayed to God. We're not sure what all that means. Were they born again in the Old Testament economy and need to hear about Jesus Christ, their Messiah? But that's where he went. And so, but at Philippi, we find three different people that were members of that church. We find a wealthy business lady. We find a government official, the jailer. And we find a young lady possessed with a spirit of divination who got saved. Quite a cross section of society, don't we? You know, we have, it might say that's one of the top sections of society. You have government official, and then you, perhaps maybe this lady was kind of at the bottom of society. This is the foundation of that church. And you know, many times, we don't think that way. We don't think about, you know, we really, need to maybe pray more about targeting different parts of society and to be praying for that. I was thinking today that, you know, we really don't have any business owners that I know of. Do we have any business owners in this church? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Okay. No doctors. Oh, we have a Robert's Nursery. That's famous, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. But, you know, cross section. You know, I remember one time, and you might not understand this, but I was with the Kinesis. And, they were in Page. And, there were some gypsies who came to church. And if you don't know gypsies, gypsies have a very bad reputation, have a group of people with very little character. They're known to be thieves and lie and not good families and aren't very clean. A couple of them had gotten saved. And Pastor Jim said, there were a family there in the church. And he said, you notice that other Hungarians don't mix with the gypsies. They don't sit by them, a couple rows in between them. And he said, you know, if I chose to, I could go after the gypsy community. But we wouldn't have any Hungarians in the church. And I could go after the gypsies and there wouldn't be anybody to tithe. And there wouldn't be any good families. solid families, and we'd never build a church. Now, it might seem a little bit, that might seem a little bit harsh, but, you know, put it this way. When you start a church, you have to recognize that a church has to be started on functioning people. Now, some churches make a big mistake and they have 5 nursing home ministries on Sunday. And then they have this other ministry. Maybe they have a bus ministry to children. And, you know, nothing wrong with ministries. But you don't build a church on ministries. Now, we're going to have a ministry, by the Lord's sake, to University of Whitewater. But, you know, it is going to be a ministry. We aren't going to build our church on that ministry. We're after trying to reach those people. We're after trying to get them saved. To get them into the church would be very a long process, put it this way. But for them to be really strong functioning members of our church, probably wouldn't happen. But they need to be reached. And as I think about it, I think one of the reasons that I would like to go and work in that campus is because those young people are open. And usually you reach a college-age young person, just as statistics would tell you, that 1 out of 5 or more will go into the ministry. And that means missions. And that means spreading the gospel to the ends of the world. I would call that a ministry, all right? And with a church of all these people, everybody needs to be serving the Lord, right? And everybody needs to be in a ministry and reaching people for Christ. Really the foundation of the church isn't necessarily ministries. Ministries are usually long-term things, but really the foundation of the church is soul winning. Winning the people that we rub shoulders with in everyday life. And the people around us, those are people that we need to be reaching. You know, truck drivers ought to be reaching truck drivers. Business people need to be reaching business people. And, you know, that's really more of how a church is built. But from a different standpoint, we find that there was a certain cross-section of the whole community that was reached in Philippi. And that was a part of the reason that that church was a strong, functioning church. And so... ministering with some strategy, but also praying with some strategy. And then that's coupled kind of with just the sovereignty of God, you know, who God brings. But, you know, this is kind of a history lesson. But, you know, when we started at Mequonago Baptist Church, the vast majority people that we led to the Lord, to be honest with you, were non-functioning people. They had passed of drugs, alcohol. They were really non-functioning people. Many of them were almost ready to divorce. They had problems with rebellion in their teenage years, and they were still rebellious as young adults. And it was really very, very difficult Because our church did not start with people from another church. They were all brand new Christians except for the Rainses. And it was kind of interesting. You look back, Pat, Dr. Rick, you could almost tell many times people's place in life had a lot to do with whether they were going to, you know, stay with it, you know. And Brother Rick is here. He's one of the original charter members, and Brother Rains. And what was interesting was both of these men had a college education. And many of the other people, whenever I would tell them something, you know, it was almost like I was trying to jerk them out of their previous lifestyle, which I was, you know. But as I study this passage of Scripture, I thought, you know, it would be good for us to do some more strategic praying. And we really need to think about what we pray about. And each year we try to have some strategic praying. This year we're praying for 3 to 5 strong families that the Lord would bring to our church. There's a purpose for that. Our church needs to be strengthened. And some of our people are not being as strong as they need to be. And our church needs to have a future that is strong. And so we've been praying for 3 to 5 families who love truth, who are functioning, mother and father, and functioning as a family, who are willing to have convictions, who respond to the Word of God, to build the foundation of our church. We need to recognize that this is important praying. We also need to pray for the different ministries that we have. You know, there's a reason that we started the daycare, and Emily this week happened to, in door-to-door visitation, go across the pathway of one of the daycare families, and they had been drinking a little bit, and so they were very talkative. And after the conversation, it was very obvious that a family like that would never, ever, under normal circumstances, ever carry on a conversation with one of us about the Lord. Never. But we're building up a relationship with them. And so we're strategizing to reach an element of society that is outside of our normal realm. And certainly outside of our normal realm by the fact that we are very conservative, and outside of our normal realm in the fact that you know, as a pastor, I'm 60 years of age. And I don't really run with that crowd anymore. And we have to make specific effort to do things to reach young people. All right? And so we always need to have strategic prayer. We're praying and for a revival in our school. We're praying for that. That's very essential. I believe that a school is essential for Christian families. I believe it's essential for a church to be strong, to have a good school. And I believe it's essential for the future of our ministry. And we need to pray for our school. Because the purpose of our school is to train young people to serve the Lord. And so we need to strategically pray that the Lord will definitely bring into our school young people whose parents believe in what we are doing. Amen? So we need to strategically pray. And we also see that in this passage of Scripture, there's certainly a strategy of praying for a cross-section of our community. You know, what is the likelihood of a person that is well known in this community to want to be identified with this church? You know, it doesn't have to do, you know, regular people don't think about what the Bible says anymore. People think about, you know, their status in society. Leah just gave me a book last night about an Amish couple that had gotten saved. And as I read that book, I thought, wow. How difficult it is for an Amish couple to get saved. Because, you know, when they get saved, they aren't thinking like they should think. They're not thinking about their soul. They aren't thinking about their need to have forgiveness. You know what's right on the top of their mind? Everything that they're going to have to pay if they're going to get saved. And, you know, I don't think anybody in this room has even come, you know, 1/100th of the price that an Amish person has to get saved. But, you know, people in this town, unless the Lord works in their life, there is absolutely no reason why they would want to come to church where their wife would wear a dress, a conservative dress, where they wouldn't drink, where they wouldn't go to parties, where they would live a righteous life. You know, only God can do that. There's no human reason that anybody would do that. And so, as we think of just a simple truth, strategic praying. Do we think strategically? Do we pray strategically? Do we recognize that we ought to have a plan to reach people for Jesus Christ? Now, the same thing in each one of our families, each one of our lives. You know, we ought to have a sense of strategy. Now, there's these Sunday school teachers. We have a couple Sunday school teachers that are really burdened about reaching children. And the Lord seems to be opening the door for them to reach children from their Sunday school class. But, you know, it didn't happen just by accident. It happened because they had this overwhelming burden and this overwhelming desire and praying strategically for the Lord to answer that prayer. And many times we just don't really pray like we ought to. And that was really kind of the purpose tonight, to cause us to think about, you know, really, are we doing work in our prayer? Are we really thinking of what God would want to do when we pray? What about you young people? Have any of you young people got it in your heart that you would want to see other young people get saved? Are you pray like that? I think you should pray like that, don't you think? Young people ought to be praying, hey, let's see some young men get saved. Let's see God do a great work. Now, praise the Lord, there's a couple of them got saved, but it's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of work in our own lives to see them succeed. Strategic work and strategic prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight that you can challenge us in a world in which the devil is certainly opposing very strategically the work of God, that we would think strategically. And Lord, as we think of the Mequonago area, we realize that, Lord, there's a huge cross-section of this town that we have not reached, that needs to be reached. There are many subdivisions that we have not even been able to penetrate with the gospel, or our ministry has been limited. And Lord, Obviously, we need to, as well, we need to reach men. And our men need to become very burdened about reaching men for Christ. And our young men need to be burdened. And Lord, everywhere around us, Lord, we see that we have to really pray strategically. And I pray that you'd show yourself great, Lord, even in this year, as we are praying for these 3 to 5 new families, Lord, that would be strong and help this church, Lord, to be strong for years and years ahead. And Lord, we pray for our men that, Lord, as people walk through these doors, that they would see that men who are on fire for God, who know how to pray, who know how to witness, and that we would be men who are successful in leading other men to Christ. Lord, we have great needs. We see some beginnings of answers, but Lord, we pray for our school to be strengthened, that it'd be a place where, Lord, the young people are on fire for God, and there's an atmosphere, desire to serve God. And Lord, where it is backed up by parents who really have that desire. And Lord, we certainly need many more young couples who will really stand for you, and will be those who will be people of truth and conviction for many years to come. And so, Lord, we even think of our missionaries, how they need someone to be praying for them strategically for their ministries to take effect. And I pray you'd help us as we pray for our missionaries, even as we think of the Krekelbergs, and we pray for that first family to be saved, as we think of the foresters there in New Mexico that need to have these families in the latter part of their ministry to reestablish that ministry, and for the Buchers who need men. And so, Lord, help us to really understand that we need to be led of Thee as we pray for this ministry, as we pray for our missionaries, as we pray to be used of Thee in our lives. And Lord, help us even as parents to have strategy as we pray for our children and we pray for what You would do in their lives. And so, Lord, lead us in our prayer time tonight and make it a time of blessing and where we can accomplish things for You. And help us to leave, Lord, tonight with a renewed vision of what we need to accomplish here in Maquonago. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.